This podcast is sponsored by Kingsdown Meadow, located in beautiful Kent countryside. New homes available. Search Serenity Parks. Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
Welcome along to the Kent Online podcast on a very snowy Monday, February the 8th. So the weather warnings were correct then. We have had a wintry blast of weather and the cold spell is set to continue for a few days yet. Snow started falling across most of the county on Sunday morning and hasn't really stopped since, although some places are more affected than others. And while lots of children are learning from home during the pandemic anyway, the weather has led to school closures for some youngsters of key workers. We've got a full list of those affected at kentonline.co.uk. On the roads, volunteers have been on standby to help anyone who's got stranded. Alan Moles is from South East 4x4 Response.
Well, it has caused disruption locally, I think. What we found is that a lot of our members have been reporting on where the snow has been over Kent. Some places have received quite a lot and others have not received a lot at all. So we have been deployed. We have been busy. We've got we had 25 members out yesterday and we've got a number out this morning. And it is based on the localization of where the weather's been. So yesterday, yeah, I think it was because it was a Sunday, it was probably a bit quieter. But today we're expecting it to pick up if the snow continues. But in general, I think the county has done quite well. It hasn't had as much snow as what was forecast. So we haven't been as busy as what we thought we would be.
And what difference does it make doing this during a pandemic when obviously you've got, you know, coronavirus considerations? If you go out to people, do you have to wear like a face mask and how close are you allowed to get?
Yep. That sort of thing? So since the beginning of the pandemic, we've had to implement new process and procedures to make sure that our members are safe. And it does involve safe face masks at all times when working with the public. And we have also asked the members to source hand gel, you know, to make sure that they're able to clean their vehicles and themselves. We also would normally be more active in transporting people, but during the pandemic, what we've had to do is limit the amount of people or the amount of people that we can transport due to the risk to our members and to the public. So it has had a big impact on what we're doing, but we're able to continue in a safe manner with the processes and procedures we've implemented.
Obviously, we're expecting a little bit more snow today and perhaps over the next couple of days. So could you just tell us about your plans and obviously just being on standby?
So depending on how the snow settles and whether we have rain or depending on the temperature, we may get further deployed. Some of the main roads look pretty clear. The gritting crew are doing a fantastic job clearing the roads there. But as the day goes on and goes into the evening, that's typically when there's rush hour. So we may see that there's an increase in requests for our assistance. But we have to monitor the situation depending on what the weather ends up being like, because we've been promised snow quite a few times and I think the first time we've had it in Kent.
Alan was chatting to Lucy, who's also been speaking to Carol Valentine, who's a highways project manager at Kent County Council.
Well, we received the amber warning on Friday and we were expecting heavy snow overnight Saturday into Sunday. Well, as it happened, the snow came in a bit later, came in later during Sunday. So it's more or less where we've expected. The amber warning is still in force, and as many people have seen, we've had extra snow this morning. We're expecting snow throughout the day.
And is it the case that, as usual, gritters have been out overnight, treating those main roads for slippery ice and snow that's around?
Yeah, we've had all of our gritters out from really yesterday through the night. They're out again this morning, keeping the roads clear. We have 58 primary routes, that's our main roads around the county, and we make sure that those ones are cleared. Additionally, we also have over 100 farmers who contract with us. So when we have snow in the rural areas, they have ploughs supplied by the council and they go out and clear those rural Rose, and we know that they've been busy as well overnight and this morning.
And so what do you know that's in store for the next few days? Because I know there's this weather warning, the amber one lasts till midday, but then there's the yellow one, so we could potentially get even more after that. What's the plan?
Well, as you say, the amber warning is still in place, and we've got snow now right through this afternoon. But it will be cold all week, so we're still looking at those really low temperatures with possibly snow later on in the week up to Wednesday. So we will still be out with the gritters, and we're just really telling everyone to be aware of what the conditions are out on the road, to drive according to the conditions, and to really just try and keep safe as much as they can. But we'll be busy, we know, this week, because we're expecting that snow right through to Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there's, with lockdown, most people will hopefully be staying at home anyway. But what's the main advice for people who do have to go out to work or to the supermarket or wherever it is?
The main advice for people moving around the county, we know that people do have to go out, is really just to drive to the conditions. Whilst we do grip the primary routes and we try and keep those as clear as we possibly can, we know that not every road in Kent is going to be cleared. And they need to really take care, drive to the conditions, and keep those journeys limited. Only go out if they absolutely have to.
Bin collections in parts of the county have also been disrupted, and some shops are limiting how much can be bought. A weather warning remains in place until the end of Wednesday, and forecasters say there's a chance we could get another 2 to 5 centimetres each day as temperatures struggle to get above freezing. We've been getting the very latest from Luke Mile at the Met Office.
So, yeah, the snow we've had across Kent has been very much what we expected. We had an area of low pressure that was just to the southeast of the UK, mainly over parts of Holland and Belgium, that was named Storm Darcy by the Dutch Met Service, KNMI. And that brought quite frequent snow yesterday across much of Kent. In fact, we've seen 16 centimetres of accumulated snow at Manston, which is not far from the coast as well. So quite an unusual amount to get given where they are based. But the snow was forecast to cause some disruption, and I think there was quite significant disruption, particularly across the east of Kent as we went through Sunday. And we've got further snow currently falling. So the snow is very dry snow, it's powdery snow. So a lot of people have said that it's blowing around quite a lot. And that's just because, you know, it's not really sticking to the surface very well. So some areas have got quite a bit of snow, but other areas you can see where it's piled up against like a brick wall or something because of the wind. So quite a variable amount of how much snow is physically lying on the ground from one place to another. So initially yesterday, Storm Darcy was bringing strong winds, but the storm itself is moving away from the UK, and now we've just got this bitter easterly wind. It's a polar continental air mass which is coming all the way from Siberia, and we've got strong winds across the whole of the country, and that's just making it feel absolutely biting out there. It's really cutting you when you step out the door. So that combined with powdery snow just allows the snow to blow around, and you know, people probably see it whipping around a little bit and piling up, as I say, against brick walls that are, you know, sort of sheltered from that wind. Temperatures are really struggling for the time of year. On the thermometer, it will say 0-1 degrees at the very best, which is not going to cause any of that snow to melt. Add on the effect of that wind, and it's going to make it feel more like -5, -6 outside when you're stepping out the door. So A, it's going to be feeling very, very cold, but also because where we've got snow on the ground, where it does get compacted from people walking over it and cars driving over it, it will cause there to be some ice, and that's going to be a problem through much of this week.
And while some of you might have been out enjoying the wintry scenes with some sledging and snowball fights, not everyone's loving it that much. Ish has been catching up with some of you in Gillingham today.
Well, you know, I mean, our people think snow looks nice, but I mean, it's not really all that practical. All my train times have been sort of messed up, so I'm going to have to go into work early, and it looks like I'll have to leave early, so I'm not really that happy.
Absolutely horrible. He doesn't like it. It's too cold.
Your son doesn't like it either.
No.
What's your plan today? Is it going to be a bit more difficult now with the snow?
It is. I'm going to be staying indoors most of the day now.
How are you feeling about it?
It's awful.
It's awful?
Yeah.
Was that your first reaction?
Yeah, it's cold. It's awful.
Walk with dogs, enjoy the snow and scenery. We'll probably build a snowman.
I'll be glad when it's all over.
It doesn't bring any joy to me. Why would it? You know what I mean? Why would the snow bring any joy? With the lockdown and everything else, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. And to say that, go out and look after the elderly in this weather, you know, I know it's locked down, but if there's any elderlies out there, go and look after them, and they need looking after because it's cold.
Well, you can see plenty of pictures and video of the snow at kentonline.co.uk. And don't forget, for the very latest travel updates, you can tune in to KMFM.
The Kent Online Podcast with Serenity Parks.
Some other news in brief now, and a coroner says a mum and her son who died in a house fire in Dover could have got out if there had been a smoke alarm. An inquest heard there was no sign of one at the rented property in Primrose Road, which caught alight last July. The victims, who were aged 32 and 60, were both pronounced dead at the scene. There's a warning. Following a spate of rock falls on the Kent coast over the weekend, a group of five people were told to move away from the edge after one at Aycliff near Dover. Wildlife groups have joined forces to try and stop a huge new theme park being built in North Kent. A public inquiry is due to be held into plans for the multi-billion pound London resort project on the Swanscombe Peninsula. But conservationists say the area is home to more rare and threatened species. And on tomorrow's podcast, we'll be hearing from Bug Life, who will be explaining why they're supporting the move. A reminder, part of the M20 will be closed overnight for the next 3 weeks because of roadworks. The coastbound section between junctions 9 and 10A in Ashford need to be resurfaced and have studs replaced. It'll be shut from 8pm until 6am. And work has started on building a new secondary school in Dartford. Stone Lodge is going to cost £29 million and will have specialist science and engineering classrooms, as well as a separate sports block and outside pitches. It's hoped it'll be ready for pupils this time next year.
Kent Online News.
Now I'm joined on the podcast by our community reporter, Ollie Kemp, who's been meeting some workers who, despite not being on the front line, are still going out to work each day during the pandemic. Ollie, can you tell us who you've been speaking to?
Yeah, the first person I spoke to, Nicola, was the Imam of Gillingham's Nazir Mosque, Safir Khan. Now, Safir counts as religious staff in his position, so he's been kept pretty busy opening the premises four times a day, 7 days a week for Muslims across Medway to come and pray. Now, in usual times, Safir would be able to invite more than 100 people into the building, but under COVID restrictions, it's limited to around 10.
It's been very, very different, of course, from what we are used to. But we have had to adapt like everybody else. We're lucky and fortunate that for most of the time, the places of worship, including the mosques, have been allowed to be open. And that has been a good thing for us because prayers are, you know, part of our life. Daily, we do five prayers, you know, it's very important. And we've been allowed to continue that, although with social distancing and being very, very careful as well. When we gather here for prayers, we always have that in mind that, you know, the other community members who may not be here, they want to be here, but because of, you know, the importance of looking after the health of each other and to be safe, it is a reason why it's like that. So we're not losing hope or we're not too depressed about that. We understand that this is how it is and we hope and pray that soon we can go back to, you know, the normal activities again, yes.
And aside from letting people into the mosque, he's helped lead community efforts such as providing assistance to those who are isolated in their homes and even helping feed truckers stranded on Kent's roads in December. Quite different from the experiences of Jamie Hooton, a 25-year-old factory worker for Plamil Foods in Folkestone. Now, Jamie works on the production side of things for the vegan company, so everything from mixing and moulding chocolate to packing it. I did ask him if he stopped eating chocolate after getting the job, but he said thankfully it hadn't put him off too much. Now, Jamie has worked his usual 9-to-5 shift since the start of the pandemic. At first, he was concerned about coming into contact with the virus, but found that he and his colleagues settled into the safety guidelines quite quickly, although sometimes it's been hard for them to communicate on the factory floor.
Being further away, obviously, we're not communicating as much. It's harder to get things across being like two. I know it's like only 2 metres, but that 2 metres does make a difference. Like when you're trying to explain something with face masks on, it adds to like not understanding properly sometimes, so it makes things difficult.
But the one thing that struck me talking to Jamie was the effect of getting to work day to day with his colleagues and how helpful that's actually been for all of them.
People that are furloughed and stuff like that, stuck at home, I think that would have been worse for me, just coming out, having routine and still coming to work and still being able to make money. Just it takes away from all that stress of actually the COVID, so we're not worrying about having a job, but then not worrying about COVID at the same time. So it takes one away from the other. It helps as well being able to come to work and talking to people that are just not in your house. Like it's that communication that helps, talking to other people that aren't in your bubble, where it does obviously help, and it helps them as well, not just being stuck, especially people that live on their own and stuff like that.
That theme of having a support network in your job ran across most of the key workers that I spoke to. So for year four teacher Claire Lawrence at Guston C of E Primary in Dover, the school's bubble system meant that even though she had been physically on site, she hasn't been able to communicate with colleagues as she could before. But the strangest thing for Claire is most of her class being at home, of course. And even after a year, having to work with her children via a video chat is a strange experience.
It's very odd not being in with your class every day, like having all the children in like we would normally, because obviously you have a connection with the, you know, with your class and all the individuals in your class. And so it's definitely been very odd, but I think everyone's managed to adapt quite well to doing things over Zoom and learning different ways of teaching and how we would go about things. So yes, it's definitely been a learning curve. When we started the new academic year with everybody in, it's nice that we had that opportunity to actually see everybody and start to get to know everybody at the beginning of the year. We're trying to sort of keep up that level of communication and keeping in touch with all of the children in our classes, because we have daily Zoom check-ins. So I see pretty much all of them every day, and we have a chat and a catch up, and they get an opportunity to share anything that they've been doing and any work that they've been doing. And also it's really nice for them to have an opportunity to see each other.
Claire was quite positive about how her colleagues and pupils have managed to adapt to the situation. It's of course not the same for every single industry. Nigel Jackson's a cabbie and member of the Medway Licensed Taxi Drivers Association, and he has seen a drastic drop in the number of people who need his service.
The footfall's down at least 80%, but we're not forced to close, so therefore we still have to carry on working. And obviously with the reduction in income, things are very tough. You've got outgoing costs weekly that need to be covered, ongoing fixed costs, which there's nothing you can do about, which is your vehicle insurance, licensing fees, finance on vehicles, maintenance of vehicles, which you have to find, and sometimes you're not even scratching the surface to cover those costs, so it is very tough. Most of the work now is taking key workers to and from work, NHS staff, you name it. The majority of the work then, apart from that, is people going to the shops, buying the weekly shop, that haven't got a vehicle to drive home themselves, that they need a taxi to do so. And we're here to try and do that as safe as possible.
Nigel also talked a little about the mental health impact of working in an industry which has suffered a lot in the past 11 months.
When you're sitting on a taxi rank alone for 2 hours waiting for a fare, it can be quite soul destroying, and can, so to be honest with you, it affects everyone's mental health, this pandemic. And hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccines.
It was fascinating speaking with all of these key workers, because they have been on the front lines and had a very different experience than those who have been able to work from home since COVID-19 changed a lot of things.
Thanks ever so much, Ollie. And you can read Ollie's special report at kentonline.co.uk.
Kent Online Sport.
Football now, and it seems quite a while ago actually that they played, because Gillingham were in action on Friday night, but we have still got reaction to that latest game. It wasn't a great one, unfortunately, as it finished in a 3-0 defeat to Lincoln City. Here's manager Steve Evans.
Hey, listen, they're a good side. They've been second best for long periods tonight, though, haven't they? You know, we've reminded me tonight very much of the West Ham game in the Cup, you know, last season, when we were dominant for spells, couldn't take advantage of half chances or in getting good positions. They got a goal against a runner player in the game, but it's young man learning his trade. Slattery doesn't track the runner. It's a simple track the man, and they don't get the opportunity, but they take advantage. I think then after to half time, we're by far the better side. You know, when Jordan Graham is a good chance, we have a number of throw ins. The corners go into the box, we get good first touches, not the second. We go into half time, and we spoke about inches of yards and fine margins, and not allowing a referee who's had a poor first half performance, as far as we're concerned, not allow him to impact in the game. And he does impact in the game, doesn't he? Because, you know, that's a dive. I can't say it in any other words for the penalty. It's a dive. And so they get the penalty, they get the second goal, and then we have to try and get back in the game. And we up as I say, we leaving it late at the back, and you know, they have a third goal. We thought it looks offside, but they tell me it's no onside, Ben, so we accept that. But we're trying to get back in the game. We made a number of good chances at 2-0 to make it 2-1, and you know, and have a real grandstand finish, but not to be. Disappointing from my point of view when I hear a match official in a live Sky game running about calling one of the two or three of the Lincoln players by their nicknames. I don't think he'd know their nicknames. He's in his first season in the Football League. He's running about calling them by nicknames. I said to fourth official, reported right away, doesn't look right. So that sends me home with a real quandary as I try and sleep tonight. We don't expect end to be given that's not rightfully ours, but you know, I'm watching Vidi and Oliver get absolutely dragged all over the place for half an hour and not have a free kick. It's disappointing. I don't expect the referee to get that penalty wrong. That's the game changer for us. You know, we're either 1-1 and back in the game or still having an opportunity to press the game. They can get a bit nervous. They'll try to go top of the league. We don't get that opportunity, and we don't get that opportunity because the referee's made a poor decision. He should see it's a dive. He should see that the boy's 6 feet in the air and coming down. It's a poor decision, but he had a lot of poor decisions tonight. Not questioning his honesty. I'm just saying he's a bad referee tonight.
And while it's certainly not cricket weather right now, we've been hearing from Kent's Jack Leaning on his preparations for the new season. The batsman broke every partnership record in the club's history last year with his unbeaten knock of 423 with Jordan Cox against Sussex. The 27-year-old says he's hoping he can build on his performances.
Just trying to keep my fitness up. I've kind of dived into that quite strongly. It's always been something I've quite enjoyed doing, but lockdown's probably given it more chance to do my own stuff and to get out and explore the streets of where I live. There's probably not a road in the 3 or 4 square miles of where I live that I haven't run down, I don't think. Last season was good, but it was kind of almost like a little taster. We kind of got going in the season and then it was over again. So hopefully this year, COVID dependent, we can get a full season in and I can get to play in all three formats and hopefully have another really good year.
Kent will be getting their county championship season underway in April with a trip to Northamptonshire. Well, thanks ever so much for listening today. Do stay warm. We will keep you updated on the weather throughout the next few days. Don't forget, you can also subscribe to the IM News app, which will give you access to all of KM Group's newspapers. Just head to subsaver.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Kingsdown Meadow, located in beautiful Kent countryside. New homes available. Search Serenity Parks.